a Silver Spring Assembly. I'm glad to be back up here. And I do have a word that I want to share with you right now to both equip and encourage you. Now, I'm accustomed to preaching to a very interactive church. And you know that if you call SSA home. You guys amen me and talk to me, and I'm not going to have that at this time. So you're going to have to like post some amens online as comments or something as I'm speaking, so that at least when I go back, I'll know you were there with me as we walk through this. But we're going to go today and look at a message, and it's titled Call 911. And that might seem like an emergency title, but in fact, what it really is a title that's played off of Psalm 91. And I want to read Psalm 91 to you today, because I want to tell you, in a time of crisis, Psalm 91:1, and really that whole psalm, is a great encouragement to you. So when you think 911, I want you to think of Psalm 91:1 as a word to equip you at this time. But to begin, let me read this psalm to you. I'm going to read it in its entirety, not just the first verse, and then I want to share a few thoughts today to help equip you in this day. It begins like this. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. Come on, do you love Him? I know you do. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. That's a good word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for that passage. I pray that as I share a few thoughts with us this morning, a little briefer than normal, Lord, I know, but I believe it's going to be a word that's going to equip us as a church, strengthen us, Lord God, build our faith as we trust in you in these different days that we're navigating through collectively as a community. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. And would you pray with me right now, even in your homes, church, right there in your homes, if you would pray with me. Father, I ask that you would build my faith and protect me and my family. I trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We believe. It was the great evangelist A.W. Tozer, and in fact, we're going to show it to you, who said, "A world living in fear needs a fearless church." He said that a long time ago, but it is as true today as it ever was. We right now are living among a world and a nation and a state and a city where there's a lot of fear that's going around. And more than ever before, we need to be the church. And that's a lot more than just being at church. That means being the church. And I want to encourage us with that this morning. We're not a fearless church because we gather here at 11 a.m. The world can't even see us when we gather here at 11 a.m. We're a fearless church when we live from Monday through Sunday out in our community and demonstrate the love of God with acts of compassion and show them who we truly are all week long. They see then that we have no fear to live for our God and to walk with Him. So in that sense, I want to encourage you to be the church this week. As I was leaving my home this morning, I was pulling out of my driveway, and there's an elderly couple that lives kind of on an angle across the street from me, and I thought to myself, when I get home today, I've got to make sure I run over there and knock on their door and just see if they need anything. Now, you know, like me, the stores don't have a lot right now, but I would do what I could do to come up to help them if they need anything at this time. There are probably some neighbors of yours as well, especially some who are more vulnerable at this time, who will be very uneasy to go out into public in any way. I would encourage you to check on them, make sure they have their needs, that they're okay. It's a chance for us to be the church at this time. You got toilet paper before they ran out of it at the stores? God bless you. That's wonderful. Don't hoard it. Go share a roll with your neighbor. That's maybe they didn't make it in time, and you can look out for them as well. So that's important. Our world and our country right now are in an interesting balance altogether. Of course, I'm not a part of what goes on in other nations other than what we see on the news, but I see how our own communities respond here as we've responded to this situation with the coronavirus. And it seems like people have responded often to one extreme or another extreme. On the one hand, we have some people who've practically panicked. I've seen pictures online of people with grapefruits on their faces because they couldn't get a mask, although we know the masks don't really protect us, and buckets on their heads and wrapped in trash bags. And there's a lot of panic that has gone on, panic buying and shopping that has occurred, the such that we don't see when a nor'easter or a hurricane is coming and things like that. And many of us have seen people fighting over things in stores and such like that. There's a lot of fear that has brought a lot of that on in our society and even right here in our own community as well. And you would think the end was upon us, if you will, as some folks have responded. But that fear is not from God. We know that. We know that the Bible tells us that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. God's given us power. God gives us love. God gives us a sound mind is what he gives us. So we want to know that we can be at rest in him at this time. On the other hand, there are those who are the naysayers. They're not afraid, but instead they mock the whole response and make light of it and joke about the situation of our day, trying to say that it's not really a big deal at all and that everyone is overreacting and things like that. And you've probably heard some of those things as well along the way, but some of those things are also just as inappropriate and usually are. When I read someone write something like, "You're more likely to get attacked by a shark than you are to die of coronavirus." My first thought is, yeah, but if you get attacked by a shark and come to my house, I don't get attacked by a shark also. Getting attacked by sharks isn't contagious. Someone said to me, more people get struck by lightning than die of coronavirus. And I said the same. I said, yeah, but if you get struck by lightning and come to church, we won't all get struck by lightning also. It would just be you. So we can't compare a contagious disease to events that aren't contagious. That doesn't even make any sense. Likewise, we can't really compare it to other viruses or diseases that have happened before because this is a new one and we don't really know everything about it yet. So while we don't want to react in panic and fear, we also don't want to make light of things and imply that nothing is going on when in fact, obviously, the situation has been serious. People have lost their lives and are sick. So we want to know that we respond with a proper balance in the middle there where we exercise wisdom, don't panic, but we understand that things in our day are a little different than they normally are. So neither extreme would be helpful along the way. That said, let me just give you a couple of things really quick to help equip you in this day and hopefully help equip you in the community as you live among those that you work with. Maybe you're working from home right now or wherever in this time. I know things are a little different. The first thing I want to encourage you with is this, and that is to live smart, not scared. Live smart, not scared. I pastored in the inner city for many years in New York. It was a community that has changed some over the years now, but when I was there during that time, the community had a lot of crime. It was a very high crime area. In my time there in the city, I remember a time when a man was shot on the sidewalk in front of our building. I remember when our school nurse one time, someone attempted to rape her right in our church parking lot. I remember cars being stolen from the parking lot during church, and crazy things would happen along the way. I was in my office one time and heard gunshots ring out, and I ran to the window, and a car was backing down the street with a man running after the car, shooting at the car, and the car tried to turn around and flipped on the hill of the street. And I could tell you some interesting stories of the days in the city. And at times when I was there, I would be talking to a friend or a family member from another community, and they would ask me about living there. And wow, isn't it frightening there? And I would always say this, I choose to live smart, not scared. Do I go out and walk the streets at 3 o'clock in the morning in a community where I know crime goes on? No, I don't do that, but that's because I'm smart. That's not because I'm scared. There's a difference between being smart and being scared. It affects our decision. So I want to encourage you in that regard at this time as well to live smart, but not live scared. Living smart means taking necessary steps to avoid dangerous situations. And being scared would have paralyzed me in those days as it would us now. And that's not who we want to be. Instead, we want to be a people who make sensible choices. When your children are small, you hold them tightly. When you're in a parking lot or crossing the street, you make sure that that they don't run away. It's not that you're crossing the street in fear. It's that you want to do what you know is smart, to know that no one gets hurt and that your family is protected. You look both ways before you cross the street. These are days to live smart as well, not scared. We're doing things differently than we normally do them. We're washing our hands so much it's almost ridiculous, and I'm sure you have. Now, let me say as I say that, I've always washed my hands. I do that well. I didn't just start. But I'm going to confess. Confession is good, and I'm going to confess. I have discovered about myself that I was one of those rapid hand washers. You know, I would be coming out of the bathroom, and I would hit the soap and lather quick and grab the paper towel. 20 seconds seems like a long time when I'm in there now. And I realize, man, I was a fast hand washer and didn't even know it. So I've slowed down my hand washing. The health department tells us 20 seconds. Do I wash my hands for 20 seconds because I'm scared? No, I do it because I'm smart. We want to do the things we know to do because we know there's sensible things to do that would protect us at this time. So I'd encourage you with that and to remember that along the way. These aren't days to be scared. The children of God don't live scared, but we are sensible people. And God has given us wisdom. The psalmist declared that we don't fear the terror of night nor the arrow that flies by day. Our refuge is found in the Most High God. And we want to remember that. Even if there's no more toilet paper and soap, I have good news. God's going to take care of you. I'm not saying that joking. I'm being serious. God is going to take care of you. God is not scared. God is not caught off guard. God is on his throne. He's always there. He's seated there. You know, when we all started hearing the reports about coronavirus and we had to react to it, God hasn't had to react to anything. Because God knew in advance what was going to take place. God never reacts. God only acts. He acts in advance. He has foreknowledge. So we trust in him with that. Remember that the promises of God remain. And let me give you this as a quick tool. If you feel like you're starting to get scared, I want to give you a lesson from my 4-year-old grandson, Josiah. He's just a little guy, but he did something recently that really stood out to me. My son let me know when it happened. Josiah is 4 years old, and he calls praying amens. So if he was going to pray for you, he says, I'm going to do an amen for you. We didn't teach him that. We don't know where he got it from, other than that we say amen after we pray. So now he calls praying amens. And the other day, his little cousin, Rochelle, we were there in New York last weekend for the baby dedication. She was at his house and was staying there with he and his mom. And Nicole is Rochelle's aunt. In fact, today's Nicole's birthday. So if she watches, happy birthday, Nicole. We love you. But she's there, and Rochelle was crying and fussy, and she wouldn't eat her food. And 4-year-old Josiah came over, and he said to his mom, Mommy, I'm going to do an amen. I'm going to do an amen for Rochelle. And he prayed, and this was his prayer. He said, Dear Jesus, help Rochelle eat her food. Amen. That was his whole prayer right there. When you feel scared as we're walking through these days, I want to encourage you as well, do an amen. Get into that secret place. I'll talk about that again in just a minute and call on God. We don't want to live scared. We want to live smart, and praying is always the smart thing to do. Let me give you this as well as a second thing, and that is to make sure that we prepare instead of panicking. Prepare, don't panic. That's an important one. I want to show you two verses about this. The Bible speaks very clearly about them. Prepare, don't panic. The first one is Proverbs 22:3. Proverbs 22:3 tells us this. It should pop up there for me. If not, I'm just going to read it. There it is. It says, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty." The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Now let me show you another verse that's also in Proverbs, but it's Proverbs 27:12. It says this, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty." Now, if you're watching, you might think, "Pastor, that's a typo. You put the same verse up twice and gave it two different references." But you know what? The Holy Spirit wanted to get this one through to us so much, He put it in the Bible twice. There, two times, the exact same verse. That's wisdom. That's wisdom from God's Word. That's about being prudent, not panicking in our lives. And of course, you see the similarities there. When the meteorologist calls for snow, I get my shovel and my ice melt ready. I'm not panicking. I'm just preparing for what I know is coming. A lot of what has happened in recent days in our nation and others has been more panic than preparation. But panic usually just leads to hysteria and responses that just aren't healthy. And that's never the right call. When I was a teenager, some friends and I were swimming one summer in a lake, and I was probably about 13 or 14 years old, and there was a dock at this lake that went out over the water, and one of my friends, I don't remember which one, got the idea to jump off the end of the dock. He said, "Let's jump off the end of the dock, and then we'll swim back to the land under the dock." And the dock had these cross beams that went under the water, so we would have to swim under the cross beams to get through. Well, we were up for the challenge and all said, "Let's do it." And the first boy jumped in and swam back. The second boy jumped in and swam back. And wherever my turn was, third or fourth, I jumped in and I began to swim back. But when I was going under one of those cross beams, one of my feet got caught in the angle between two of the pieces of wood. And I remember as my foot caught a hold of it and it yanked and it stopped me in the water. And my initial reaction was it scared me so bad. I was under the water that I just started to yank my leg like violently to try to get it out. That probably only lasted a second or two. And then I just stopped there under the water. I was talking to myself in my head, "Calm down. Calm down." I calmed myself. I reached back and found my foot. I popped it out from the little wedge and I swam through. Of course, I was a little more tired than normal. Panic was just going to drown me. It wasn't going to help me at all. Panic's never the solution in any situation. But a calm, steady response that's wise is always one that we want to exercise. You want to exercise that for your family in the decisions that you make, for yourself. We want to exercise them over our community and over our church, that we prepare, but we don't panic in our community. So important as we do that. This is going to impact our nation and our community in a lot of ways. We're already seeing it. It's not just going to impact us with lifestyle decisions about being in crowds and things like that. Unfortunately, it's going to impact us in a great way economically. We're already seeing the fruit of that along the way. When you know that, you don't panic, but you do prepare. You make your financial decisions differently than you would have made them a few weeks ago. You know, wow, some people could lose their jobs or get laid off. Income could get reduced. That's not something that should scare us when it happens. That's something that when it happens, we should sit back and go, "Okay, let me do what I can to prepare for what's coming. Maybe I was going to do something right now, and I'm going to put it off for a little bit and wait. Maybe I can drive this car a little longer or not go to this place or whatever." It's about preparation. It's not about panicking. You want to show that wisdom at this time in that regard. So I want to encourage you. These are days to be prudent. They're days of prudence, not days of panic. Be the wise man. Be the wise woman in the proverb, not the foolish one. And then just let me give you one final thing today, and that is to choose faith over fear. Choose faith over fear. Fear is a funny thing. On the one hand, fear is healthy. The whole reason I can feel fear is because God created me so that I could feel fear. And it's a God-given emotion and reaction and feeling within us. Because I have fear, I have a wire fox terrier as a pet and not a wolf. Someone could say, "How come you don't have a wolf as a pet?" I'm afraid of wolves. They could attack me and kill me. Why would I want a wolf as a pet? I don't want a lion as a pet. If a bear comes in my yard, I would not open the door and bring him in. Fear can be a healthy thing in that regard in our lives. I've been to Niagara Falls a number of times over the years, and it's beautiful. It is majestic. As you stand there, you are in awe of it. But if someone came up to me when I was at Niagara Falls and said, "Hey, I have a canoe. Want to go over the falls with me in a canoe?" I would say, "Of course not." And if they said to me, "Why? Are you afraid?" I would say, "Yes, I'm afraid to go over Niagara Falls in a canoe." That's crazy. That's foolishness. So fear can be a very healthy thing when it keeps us from doing things that we shouldn't be doing. That's where it's healthy. But the thing is, fear can also be paralyzing when it's not healthy in our lives. When we allow fear of the unknown to define our lives, then fear is no longer healthy. Instead, now it's not anything that's of any value to us. And that's that fear that God doesn't give. It's not of him that Paul spoke of when he wrote to Timothy in that passage that I referred to earlier. The Bible has a lot to say about fear and how believers respond to it. In fact, over 80 times in the scriptures, we are told to not be afraid, to not fear. It's one of those things that God told us again and again and again. This is not a day to be afraid. This is a day to be a people of faith. Again, it's 2 Timothy 1:7. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. If you find your sound mind getting a little clouded or you're feeling frightened, do an amen. Do an amen. Let the peace of God come in and fill your heart at that time also. One of the ways we choose faith over fear is referred to in Psalm 91. And I'm pulling this together with this, with Psalm 91. And that is we go to our secret place. We get into the hiding place, that shadowed place that Psalm 91 speaks of. And the psalmist wrote of getting into this place, this secret place of God's presence, and in that place he knew he was safe. You might ask, "Pastor, how do I get into the secret place? How do I abide under the shadow of the Almighty?" Well, Jesus really modeled it for us. When John the Baptist was beheaded and folks came and told Jesus what had happened, Jesus turned to his disciples and he said this. He said, "Let's go away to a quiet place," is what he did. And Jesus did that several times. He would leave and go away overnight. He would pray overnight. He would wander off and get alone. He would take some of his disciples and go off alone. And sometimes no one would even know where he was. And sometimes Jesus would even take a nap. Read the Gospels. You'll find him in there. In fact, always remember when somebody says, "What would Jesus do?" Never leave out that one of the possibilities is go take a nap. Donald might like that one. I don't know. That's the secret place. The secret place sometimes means getting away. Getting away. When I prepare my messages to share here at church, I often put my telephone in airplane mode. I don't want any notifications from the outside world. I don't want to be communicated with in any way. I'll shut myself off. Or I go for a walk, or I head out for a jog on the trail, and I get out where there's no feedback from the outside world, because in that place of getting alone, I can just be alone with God. A lot of wisdom right now sometimes can be turn the TV off, get off the internet, stop reading all the scary stories, and just be alone with your Heavenly Father. That's your secret place. That's a place of strength and peace where God will build you up and strengthen you at this time. And I want to encourage you to take advantage of that place that God has given you and to press into that place. If all you do is watch CNN and MSNBC and Fox News or whoever else you tune into, you'll think the whole world's coming to an end. I know there's some wisdom that is given to us through those news sources as well, but they will sensationalize things to such an extreme that it can be frightening to us. So there are times where we need to walk away from it all. Come on, if Jesus did it, then I know I need to do it sometimes and just walk away from it all and say, "Let me be alone just with me and God for a little while." Get into that secret place with him, remembering that the promises of God remain over our lives and are just as real today as they have ever been. The same God who promised you last week that he was going to provide all your needs according to his riches and glory is the same God who promises you this week that he's going to provide all your needs according to his riches and glory. The same God who promised you last week that he was the healer of all your diseases is the same God who promises you this week that he is the healer of all your diseases. diseases. The same God who promised you last week that he loved you is the God who promises you this week that he loves you. None of the promises of God have changed. Have our lives changed? Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, the whole thing's upside down. I don't have any sports to watch. I'm like sitting around watching people play checkers or something. There's nothing left to look at. I'll find other things. But our lives are so different. And I know that's actually very serious. But God is still the same. Come on, you know it. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He'll be the same forever. Nothing has changed about him. So we rest in him and we trust in him. When you feel afraid, as I close, I want you to remember this. Call 911. Don't grab your phones and dial it. That's not what I mean. Psalm 91:1. That's where you're going to go. When you feel afraid, I want you to call out to Psalm 91:1. Read that promise from God's word and say, you know what, God? I'm going to get in the secret place. I'm going to abide under the shadow of your wings and rest in you at this time. Open that up and look at it and pause and reflect on God's word for a few minutes, because God's word is and will always be true over your life. Hey, I want to invite these few folks who've joined me to come up on the stage with me at this time. There's just a few folks in the room. You can't imagine what it was like to just... They were actually very good through this and behaved themselves. And Jose's way in the back. He might make it up here with us as well on sound. If you can get up here, come on up here as well, Jose. I appreciate each of these individuals so much that they came in to help us make today possible and be able to stream this message to you. We're going to agree together in prayer with you right now for the peace of God that passes all understanding to guard our hearts and minds. We've already agreed together over our community. Jorge, you want to run up here with us? He's hiding in the back. He's always around here. You know that. You guys, come on over closer. I know we can't stand too close because we're social distancing, and that's true, actually. We want to be conscious of that. So we want to agree together with you. Let's pray together at this time. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. You're a good God. You're a good God. You're in control, Lord God. All things, Lord God. You're seated on your throne just as you have always been, Lord. We pray, Lord God. We agree together right now, even as we did earlier with Selena's prayer when she prayed, Lord God. We believe in you. We affirm our faith in you. But right now as we close, I even pray specifically for our SSA family. Lord God, would you bind us together and strengthen us at this time? Make sure we're looking out for each other. Drop names in our minds and hearts of people that need to be checked on. We want to be a spirit-led people like never before, Lord God, in these days. And I pray that as we look out and care for one another in our community, we trust in you for your guiding in that regard. Bless us in every way. May we go forth and be the church. We love you, God, because you first loved us. We trust in you. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, we love you guys so much. We appreciate you. We miss you. Text us. Let us know you're alive and well. We'll reach out to you as well. God bless you. Amen.